Chapter 35. It was Saturday night in Paris also, but there were men who were still working, for there were lights burning in the upstairs rooms of one of the big embassies in the Rue Royale. The fat man who had been the host in the gambling establishment in Johannesburg was now the guest. He sat at ease in a leather club easy, his corpulence and the steel-grey hair at his temples giving him dignity, his face heavy, tanned, intelligent, his eyes glittery and hard as the diamond on his finger. He was listening intently to a man of about the same age as himself, who stood before a projected image on a screen that covered one wall of the room. There was that in the man's bearing and manner that marked him as a scholar. He was speaking now, addressing himself directly to the listener in the easy chair, pointing with a marker to the screen beside him. "You see here a plan of the working of the five producing gold mines of the Kitchenerville fields in relation to each other." He touched the screen with a marker. "Thornfontein, Blauberg, Tweefontein, Deep Gold Levels, and Sonderditch." The man in the chair nodded. "I have seen and studied this diagram before." "Good. Then you will know that the Sonderditch property sits in the centre of the field. It has common boundaries with the other four mines, and here," he tapped the screen again, "it is intersected by the massive serpentine dike, which they call the Big Dipper." Again, the fat man nodded. "It is for these reasons that we have selected the Sonderditch as the trigger point." The lecturer touched a button on the wall, and the image on the screen changed. "Now here is something you have not seen before." The man in the chair crouched forward. "What is it?" "It is an underground map based on the borehole results of the five companies who have been exploring the ground to the east of the Big Dipper. These results have been pooled and interpreted by some of the finest brains in the fields of geology and hydrophysics. You have here a carefully considered representation of exactly what lies on the far side of the Big Dipper fault." The big man moved uncomfortably in his chair. "It's a monster." "Yes, a monster. Lying just beyond the fault is an underground lake. No, that is not the correct word. Let us call it an underground sea, the size of, say, Lake Erie. The water is held in a vast sponge of porous dolomite rock." "My God." For the first time, the fat man had lost his poise. "If that is right, why don't the mining companies arrive at the same conclusion and keep well away from it?" "Because," the lecturer switched off the image and the overhead lights came on, "because in their highly competitive attitudes, none of them has access to the findings of the others. It is only when all the results are studied that the picture becomes clear." "How did your government come to be in possession of all the results?" demanded the fat man. "That is not important." The lecturer was brusque, impatient of the introduction. "We are also in possession of the findings of a certain Dr. Peter Wessels, who is at present head of a research team in rock mechanics based on the Sonderditch mine property. It is company classified information, and consists of a paper that Dr. Wessels has written on the shatter patterns and stresses of rock. His researches are directly related to the Ventersdorp quartzites, which comprise the country rock of the Sonderditch workings." The lecturer picked up a pamphlet from his desk. I will not weary you by asking you to wade through its highly technical findings. Instead, I will give it to you in capsule form. Dr. Wessels arrives at the conclusion that a column of Ventersdorp quartzite 120 feet thick would shatter under a side pressure of 4,000 pounds per square inch. The lecturer dropped the pamphlet back on the desk. As you know, by law, the gold mining companies are bound to leave a barrier of solid rock 120 feet thick along their boundaries. That is all that separates one mine's workings from another. Just that wall of rock. You understand? Of course, it is very simple. Simple. Yes, it is simple. This Dr. Steiner, over whom you have control, will instruct the new general manager of the Sonder Ditch to drive a tunnel through the Big Dipper Dyke. The drive will puncture the vast underground reservoir, and the water will run back and flood the entire Sonder Ditch workings. Once they are flooded, the pressure delivered by a 6,000-foot head of water at the lower levels will be in excess of 4,000 pounds per square inch. That is sufficient to burst the rock walls and flood the Thornfontein, the Blauberg, Deep Gold Levels and Tweefontein gold mines. The entire Kitchenerville goldfields would be effectively and permanently put out of production. The consequences for the economy of the Republic of South Africa would be catastrophic. The fat man was visibly shaken. "Why do you want to do it?" he asked, shaking his head in awe. "My colleague here," the lecturer indicated a man who was sitting quietly in one corner, "will explain that to you presently."
"But people," the fat man protested. "There will be people down there when it bursts. Thousands of them."
The lecturer smiled, raising one eyebrow. "If I were to tell you that 6,000 men would drown, would you refuse to proceed and forfeit the $1 million payment my government has offered you?" The fat man looked down, embarrassed, and muttered, barely audibly, "No." The lecturer chuckled. "Good, good. However, you may salve your aching conscience by assuring yourself that we do not expect more than 40 or 50 fatalities from the flooding. Naturally, those men actually working on the face will be killed. But that tremendous volume of water under immense pressure should make it a merciful death. For the rest of them, the mine can be evacuated swiftly enough to allow them excellent chances of survival. The surrounding mines will have days to evacuate before the water pressure builds up sufficiently to burst through the boundary walls." There was silence then in the room for nearly a minute. "Have you any questions?" The fat man shook his head. "Very well. In that case, I will leave it to my colleague to complete the briefing. He will explain the necessity for this operation, will arrange the terms of payment and conditions upon which you will proceed." The lecturer gathered up the pamphlet and other papers from the desk. "It only remains for me to wish you good luck." He chuckled again and left the room quickly. The little man, who up till then had remained silent, suddenly bounced out of his chair and began pacing up and down the wall-to-wall carpeting. He spoke rapidly, shooting occasional sideways glances at his audience, his bald head shining in the fluorescent lighting, wriggling his moustache like rabbit whiskers, puffing nervously at his cigarette. "Reasons first. I'll make it short and sweet, right?
The South Africans and the frogs have got together. They're here in Paris now, cooking up mischief. We know what they're up to. They're going to launch an all-out attack on my government's currency. Gold price increase, you know. Very complicated and very nasty for us, right? They might just be able to do it. South Africa is the world's biggest gold producer. With the frogs helping her, they might just be able to force an increase. He stopped in front of the fat man and thrust out an accusing finger. Are we going to sit back and let them have a free run? No, sir. We are going to throw down our own curveball. In 3 months' time, the syndicate will be ready to attack. At that precise moment, we will kick the chair out from under the South Africans by cutting their gold production in half. We will flood the Kitchenerville goldfields, and the attack will fizzle out like a damp squib, right? As simple as that, asked the fat man. As simple as that, the bald head nodded vigorously. Now, my next duty is to make clear to you that the agreed $1 million is all the reward you receive. Neither you nor your agents may indulge in any financial transactions that might, in retrospect, show that this was a planned operation, right? Right, the fat man nodded. You give your assurance that you will not deal in any of the shares of the companies involved. You have my solemn word, the fat man told him earnestly. And, not for the first time in his life, reflected how easily and painlessly a promise could be given. With the assistance of the three men who had watched Manfred Steiner that night at the gambling club in Johannesburg, he intended launching a bear offensive on the stock exchanges of the world. On the day they drilled into the Big Dipper dike, he and his partners would sell millions of the shares of the five mining companies for one of the biggest financial killings in the history of money. We are agreed, then, the bald head bobbed. Now, as for this Dr. Steiner, we have had a screening and personality analysis, and we believe that, despite the secure hold you have on his loyalties, he would jib at giving the order to drive on the Big Dipper, if he were aware of the consequences. Therefore, we have prepared a second geological report. He produced from his briefcase a thick manila folder. Incorporating those figures which he will recognize. In other words, the drilling results of the CRC exploration teams, but the other figures are fictitious. This report purports to prove the existence of a fabulously rich gold reef beyond the fault. He crossed the fat man and handed him the folder. Take it. It will help you convince Dr. Steiner, and he, in turn, to convince the new general manager of the Sonderditch gold mine. You have been thorough, said the fat man. We try to give a satisfactory service to our customers, said the bald man.